T-shirt, Leo.
Guys?
Okay, better make it quick. My life has gone turbo jet set lately with all this Brexit stuff. Got on a sneaky holiday to Portugal before the big summit in Egypt. Toast delighted they're extending Brexit chaos. Whenever I need a rest, I can pop over on a city break and call it EU biz. Hashtag extra.
Did you speak about human rights abuses while in Egypt, Taoiseach?
Totes, in that I humble bragged to everyone about what an honour it was to bring in gay marriage and abortion rights to Ireland.
But you were opposed to both of those originally.
I was only opposed as part of a ledgebag reverse psychology method to have them passed.
What?
And anyone who reminds people that I'm not socially liberal is guilty of reverse snobbery, TBH.
How did your meeting with the British Prime Minister go?
God, which one? It used to be such a buzz visiting the set of my favourite film, Love Actually. Now it's totes orcs. We literally have nothing to say to each other. These days, Theresa May and Brexit reminds me more of the old lady at the end of Titanic who's throwing the last thing she had of value into the sea.
What's your take on the current state of the Brexit talks?
Loving it.
What?
Now that it's taking longer than our efforts to draw Metrolink on a map, I can totes chillax and enjoy the Paddy's Day junket. It's going to be epic. And you can't come, by the way, because Matt is in charge of the WhatsApp group from New York. Also, I'm going to recreate my cray-cray intern days in Washington. Watch out for my traditional losing the run of myself gaff BTW. I'm planning a real volcano this year.
Are you going to be less fawning over Donald Trump this year?
Anyway, Washington, my internship days are going to be the comic relief when they inevitably make the movie about my life. Looking back, I was so unprepared for it. Ugh. Just like we're completely unprepared for a hard Brexit. Ooh. We better pray a no-deal sitch is death off the cards.
What will be your focus now if Brexit does take a backseat?
I'll just go back to preventing further slippage in my self-satisfaction ratings by deciding which of my ministers should take a whipping for the latest shambles. I've enjoyed Simon Harris getting the flack, so might shift things back to MRFs for a while. We finally got a repossessions bill on the cards, about 10 years too late. And it wasn't even our idea. Who do we steal it off again? Usually it's the Social Democrats.
It was Kevin Boxer Morden, Taoiseach.
What? The Independent Alliance had an idea?
Yep.
That doesn't sound right.
Taoiseach, do you stand by your comments that Irish citizens who went to fight for ISIS would be welcome back to Ireland?
Absolute-a-rama. With Fianna Fáil made an absolute balls of our economy, hashtag never forget, a lot of Irish citizens had to emigrate to find work, and not everyone was cut out for fruit picking in Australia. But now, under Fine Gael's leadership, all sorts of people are returning home to a booming economy,
but
even in areas I paid no attention to, like towns with a Supermax or a Roma 2. I'm delighted to say there's been regional progress, with gangland crime even expanding to places like Drogheda. There could be opportunities for ex-ISIS fighters there, in fact.
Taoiseach,
I gotta run. I think I'm needed in Rome for Brexit talks with the Italian PM. The nightlife is a maze, by the way. And then Greece, maybe Cyprus, Sicily, somewhere nice. You know how it is. Ciao, guys. Peace out.
Welcome to BBC News. More depressing than if Ken Loach directed an EastEnders Christmas special. The Prime Minister has bowed to pressure from Remain cabinet members by announcing a series of votes, including one to delay Brexit. Mrs May joins me now.
Warning! Maybot.gov uses cookies to enhance your browsing experience.
What?
Do you accept?
Use offline. Prime Minister...
Thank you.
Prime Minister, do you seriously believe that even with this extension, the European Union will give you any more concessions on the backstop?
You, we're not fantasies. We know that my backstop agreement is unpopular, but the EU won't renegotiate it.
Right.
So instead, we're using this extension to rebrand it.
What do you mean, rebrand?
The Irish backstop is no longer a complex customs agreement. It's now a 6-part sitcom on BBC One.
I'm sorry, what?
We're calling it Mrs. Brand's Boys, De Backstop.
I'm...
The logic is flawless. Everyone loves Mrs. Brand's Boys.
Well...
The Irish, the British, everyone.
Right, and how will it work?
Simples.
Ugh.
It'll just be me standing on the Irish border, checking passports, and going, oh feck, me knickers have fallen down.
Wow.
And I believe that's the best possible outcome for our country going forward.
Prime Minister, thank you for nothing.
Sleep mode.
Right, I'm joined now on the line by Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, who's also announced an about turn, attempting to stem the flow of defectors by backing a second referendum.
That's a nonsense lie peddled by the capitalist New World Order pigs at the BBC. No offence.
Some taken.
I've been crystal clear, ever since accidentally becoming the leader of the Labour Party, that I'm absolutely, unequivocally for or against Brexit, and I will continue to be for or against Brexit for as long as it takes me to become Prime Minister. Mm. Labour stands ready to lead, even if we don't know where we're going. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must go. Another MP's tweeted something problematic about Israel.
Jeremy Corbyn there. We now go live to a parliamentary debate on Corbyn's second referendum motion.
Pepperami in a smoking jacket! Oh wait, that's Jacob Rees-Mogg! Order!
I abhor the idea of a second referendum, yeah. But if we must ask the public again, the ballot paper wording must be crystal clear. Yeah. My proposal is thus. Do you, Prole, wish to accept one's felix culpa in circumventing the supernatural jurisdictional regime that continues to pilfer sovereignty from our glorious dominion, or to simply hold up one's hands with the cry of Baba non-facet philosopher? You know, something the average man at the boot sale will understand. Yeah.
Finally, with the recent splits in major political parties, the DUP now have fewer MPs than the independent group, diluting their influence over the Tories and possibly rendering them irrelevant. Arlene Foster had this to say.
We in the DUP have never been afraid to be irrelevant. No. Coming from the most ignored part of the UK, irrelevance is what we do best.
Yes.
We don't believe in evolution, no. Climate change, no. Or the existence of a reasonable Catholic.
No.
But we do believe in lambeg drums, marching in the watery midsummer. Our son of an Ulster July,
yes.
And celebrating a Dutch king from the 17th century as a god,
yes.
Even though he barely spent a year in Ireland.
That's right.
And if that's irrelevant, oh. I don't want to be relevant.
Yes.
Thankfully, that's all we've got time for. Hugh Edwards, desperately searching for an Irish grandparent on the way to the passport office. BBC News.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump and Chairman Kim.
Thank you. It's an honor to finally be here in Vietnam, the site of one of America's greatest military victories. I would have been here myself leading the charge if it hadn't been for some terrible calcium bone spurs, for which there are no medical records, by the way.
Glorious leader says the North Korean people suffer from no such bone spurs,
wow.
Due to state-imposed calcium deficiency program.
What a country, such potential. If we could just sort out the nuclear deal. And I almost went nuclear last week. When Mexico stole some of our Oscars with a film about Rome. We have to finish the wall, folks. I love walls, especially when they're the metaphorical ones closing in all around me.
Glorious leader wins all the North Korean Oscars every year, just like his father did.
I'm here in Vietnam on a mission of peace. It has nothing to do with avoiding the Mueller investigation or distracting from the testimony of my former lawyer and convicted liar, Michael Cohen.
Uh-oh, here he goes.
And I'm willing to return to Vietnam again, if needs be, whenever the Mueller investigation does come to an end. Unrelated question, by the way, what's the extradition arrangement here?
Glorious leader says you make him look like a legitimate world leader.
By holding these historic talks?
No, just by comparison.
Anyway, we're here to talk about peace, not that ungrateful liar Cohen. You know he even lied to the First Lady of the United States.
About your affair with the porn star?
No, he called me a racist, claiming I said black people were too stupid to vote for me. Not true. I know plenty of black people who were stupid enough to vote for me.
Glorious leader blames your inferior American school system.
Which reminds me, Cohen also claimed that I made him threaten my former schools and colleges to prevent them releasing my grades. That's because I didn't want to show off. I'm a humble guy. Everybody already knows I'm a genius.
Glorious leader says he would like to end this press conference now before it damages his reputation on the world stage.
So to sum up on this historic occasion, Cohen's a liar, no collusion. Peace in North IKEA, or Southern China, as some of my friends want to call it. Nobel Peace Prize in the mail. God bless fictional bone spurs, and God bless the blighted fate of America.
Glorious leader is face-palming hard.
RT News during a slow week. A very good evening to you. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have engaged in a week-long slagging match in the hopes that no one would notice they're doing no work. With more on this story is our political reporter that looks like every Midlands butcher's apprentice, Micheál Lehane.
Earlier this week, Leo Varadkar said Micheál Martin was always finger-wagging or sniping from the sidelines. What an orator. Mr. Martin responded with a statement at the plinth, flanked by Fianna Fáil TDs, still on a high from their Ardèche and from drinking too much warm Sidona.
This latest jibe of the Taoiseach is childish, yes, and an obvious attempt to provoke the party, yes, which we will not, no, under any circumstances, no, be falling for.
That's right, this stuck-up snoot or some cheek.
Yeah. I know.
He should stick to what he's good for, eating pilates and dancing at Kelly Manor.
Well, he's right. This is senior hurling on the ditch now. Yes. And I don't mean hurling up your guts after Fianna Fáil special cavalry in City West. That's mate and seven veg, by the way, with two types of chips.
Yeah. Come on.
Let's go for the jug.
Ah, lads, you're totally out of shape.
Even Fianna Fáil's genteel Sandymount TD, Jamiriam O'Callaghan, got in on the act.
I'm personally very upset by the ungentlemanly behaviour of Mr. Varadkar.
Don't feckin' mister him.
No?
Slag him. Yeah. Got him, you posh getcha. Okay. Come on, got him now.
Leo is an unseemly so-and-so. Oh,
that's very weak. Come on, sledge him, you galloping string of offal.
No, I can't.
Stop crying.
Jeez, you're so useless, they wouldn't even make chicken nuggets out of you.
I want to go back to the law library now. Genuinely.
Fianna Fáil's tails are up, but they're coy when I mention the prospects of an election.
I don't think it would be very irresponsible to have an election now. The thing is going on. The Brexit baby is only teething.
So what about after Brexit, after that?
More Brexit.
Listen here now, the Brexit baby is after the stry in its nappy, and it'll have to be changed and burped, just like what we do with Baby Cowan after the spudge. Good man, Barry.
Later, I asked Fine Gael for a response to Fianna Fáil's criticisms, but Leo Varadkar said he was too busy.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered answering this. Murphs!
Yeah?
Send one of the B team out to respond.
Oh, like who?
One of the candidates in the next election, a nobody. You know, one of the committee hangers on.
Cool, I'll arrange Catherine Noon.
Who?
Remember, your running mate in the last election?
No.
You left her with like 2% of the vote or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't spell no one without Noon.
Oh, wow.
So there you have it. Micheál Lehane reporting on so little of consequence, it feels like I'm working for her.ie, RT News.
RTE schedule has never been more packed with incredible content.
RTE.
Operation Transformation, a show that loves to fat shame people more than Karl Lagerfeld did. Even though Ireland hasn't seen sunlight for 5 months and the only way to survive without self-harm is to eat chocolate and drink red wine.
RTE.
RTE is the home of Irish content. Once it's a remake of someone else's show, whether it's Dancing with the Stars or First Dates, we'll do our very best to make a slightly cheaper version of a show that wasn't that great in the first place.
RTE.
Think you like factual content? Well, think again as we test your patience with some of the most generic programs this side of Virgin Media. Realize how dull history was with the Irish Revolution, a show that feels like someone reading a Leaving Cert history book out loud. Follow that with How to Be Good with Money, where we pretend the only reason you can't afford a house is because you like to occasionally eat fresh food and has nothing to do with 20 years of catastrophically bad governance.
RTE.
Speaking of which, are we still obsessed with property? You betcha! At a time when most young people can't afford to rent a Portaloo in Dublin, we have jam-packed the schedule with property porn. Whether it's Find Me a Home, Grand Design, Home of the Year, or yet another Dermot Bannon vehicle, we keep making them, even though we come across as completely tone-deaf to the biggest social issue facing under-50s. Why? Because we have no under-50s viewers.
RTE.
And remember, if you miss any of this content, you can catch bits of them on the RTE player in between the crashes, buffering, and the same ad 17 times.
RTE.
Welcome back. It's 8:08 now, because it's slightly warmer than usual and it's a quiet week in politics. We have this filler piece from George Lee. This should be uplifting.
Socks with sandals and elderly people talking about the grand stretch in the evenings. Some of the horrifying phenomena we're experiencing this week earlier than usual. It's nearly 10 degrees, a sign, if ever we needed one, that global warming has its hot hands around humankind's fragile neck. I went to a beach in Cork where I met Sheila. Are you enjoying the sunshine, Sheila?
Oh, God, yeah, I am, like.
Even though it only serves to remind us that our race is just decades away from certain death.
As you know, we're all going to die sometime, right? Besides, the temperature of my car went up to 12 degrees earlier and I got 9 likes when I posted a picture of it on Facebook. I'm looking forward to a nice barbecue later.
But you know, you really should be turning vegan, or at least pescatarian, to ensure we've a planet to live on in 10 years.
Will you chill out, Chilanger?
Meanwhile, at Galway's Spanish Arch, artist and full-time Dole recipient Dermot said he was making the most of the double-digit temperatures by drinking outdoors.
Oh, it's great, who it is. I wouldn't miss a chance to come out and have a few buckfasts outside while playing the Bowron.
And does the fact that this is just another bittersweet chapter in the sequence of events leading to irredeemable demise of everybody you know play in your mind?
Well, Galway's made from stone walls. If we survive Donegal Tuesday every year, we'll survive that.
Back in the capital, I made my way to Leinster House. Outside, I grabbed a word with Climate Minister Mr. Bruton. No, not him, the other one, who had this to say about the end of days.
Well, I'd personally like to take credit for the warm weather this month, thanks to Fine Gael's well-thought-out strategy of doing absolutely nothing to tackle climate change. And hold on a second, you look familiar, you know.
I was in your party.
Yes?
For a while.
Were you? I don't treat me.
Well, it was I. Luckily, well, Danny Healy-Ray materialised to save both the minister and I from embarrassment simply by opening his mouth and making sounds.
And do you know, climate change is pure carnality. Sure, isn't it just the Lord Almighty himself turning up the heat in his house because somebody left a child a plague in the ground that says...
George Lee, feeling the heat, but delighted that there's a storm forecast for the weekend. RT News.
Vulture Ireland are pleased to announce that from 2020, St. Patrick's Day Festival will run for a month. The greatest stretching out of anything since Ray Darcy's chat show. And if you're American and gullible, do we have a jam-packed month for you? First up, the capital. Book a tiny overpriced room in the one giant hotel that Dublin has become. Pay €300 for an Airbnb in Summerhill and go on a hop-on, hop-off, wallet-stealing tour around the Spire.
Wow, we just love it here. Great traditional Irish foods like green donuts and green milkshakes. We're actually Irish ourselves. My grandfather had an uncle who married a
friend. Then why not head to Cork? The real capital. A claim only made by people from there who've never been anywhere else. Or go as far as Achill Island before you turn around and come straight back again when you realise what a waste of time that was.
And then his sister's mother's aunt had a cousin whose great-great-great-great-great-great...
Experience sideways rain. The ability to be late for everything and an apathy for life that can only be matched by someone who's just realised they should have emigrated when they were still young.
And then her great-great-great-great-grandmother once owned an Irish wolfhound from Galway. And it was a
St. Patrick's Month welcomes visitors from far and near. Take the Enterprise train from Belfast and simulate travelling from East to West Berlin in the 80s. Come from Roscommon and get comfortable with high-speed broadband and people of the same sex holding hands.
Next, we're going to go to Donegal to meet her 17th cousins who are really...
Finish your adventure in the unique Irish experience of drinking in Temple Bar, being overcharged for a stale imported beer, listening to a busker sing Galway Girl over and over again with bongo drums, and watch lads with their tops off beat the living shite out of each other while the guards pretend they can't see anything. St. Patrick's Month, the greatest idea to fleece Yanks since we secretly replaced the first funky dolphin after he died from being fed crisps.
I've always loved how Christian and conservative Ireland is.
Yeah, don't tell them, just take their money, Bigara.
RT News with Sharon Niviola-Tron.
Good evening. It's been another week of twists and turns in the Brexit saga, which is now becoming longer and more implausible than the entire run of Glenroe. Tony Connolly has the latest.
You might call it a plot twist, Sharon, but Theresa Maybot will be pushing forward with the 3 votes in a row later this month.
3? Normally, she only manages to lose the 1.
Yes, it does appear she's going for some kind of record. The first of these votes will take place on March 12th. Mrs. Maybot describing this as a meaningful vote. It'll be followed by a meaningless 1 the day after it's been defeated, and then a 3rd after the 2nd is laughed out of the Commons.
It certainly is a lot of votes, Tony. Uh-huh. But will any of them gather enough votes? Syntax error.
Well, Mrs. May has said her preference is for Britain still to leave the EU on March 29th, but there's an André Rieu concert screening in our local cinema, so increasingly that deadline does now seem unlikely.
Thanks for that. Now Tommy Gorman joins us.
Hi.
How has this latest development been received in the North?
It's the most uncertain moment in historical history, Sharon, as the fate of the border is so up in the air. It has now become quantumly uncertain. On March 29th, there both will and will not be a hard border. Heisenberg's cat. Except when you open the box, the thing that might be dead could be the peace process.
And for viewers without a degree in physics?
It's like if you've had a long-awaited surgical operation postponed. There's one part of you that is quite relieved and wonders is it okay to go for pints. But there's another part that just wants to get it over with.
Finally, Tommy, have you stories of any local people to make this massive international incident seem more relatable?
Just yesterday, I met a girl working in Penny's, or Primark as they call it up here, whose family hailed from Ballyburn Cavan. And she told me that the uncertainty over Brexit is creating havoc with her Tinder profile. Effectively, she's stateless. Stateless and dateless. I looked at her, she looked at me, and that look said it all. I probably shouldn't have been in a lingerie department in the first place.
Tommy Gorman talking randomly there. Well, earlier I spoke to British Prime Minister Theresa Maybot and asked her to turn off her Bluetooth connection as it was playing havoc with my mainframe. That's all the news for now. Good night. Now it's time for Liberal Ladies.
Hi.
Wow. Come in, Orla, Aoife, make yourselves at home.
Oh, Aoife, it's been so long since we've had a girls' night.
Well, yeah, maybe try and be a bit more sensitive with the gender typing. Girls' night is pretty exclusionary, Orla.
But we are all girls, Aoife.
Huh? Whoa, hold it there, gender identity police. It almost sounds like you're assuming where we are on the gender fluidity spectrum.
You've been married for 10 years, Aoife.
That doesn't affect how I identify.
Okay, just forget about it. People night it is.
So, out of the 170 films we suggested in the WhatsApp group, there are only two that all of us in no way were offended by.
Uh-huh.
Beauty and the Beast and the Lego Movie. Great!
Oh, no. Actually, I can't do Beauty and the Beast. I just realised the title is extremely problematic for me. Just calling him Beast really dehumanises him.
And calling Belle Beauty? It's like, is she not a sentient being? I must remember to put a label over the cover on my kids' copy of the DVD later, so they don't grow up to be bigots.
You're both right. Lego Movie it is. I'm just so happy we're staying in again. Going out on a Friday is such a mare.
I know. The boom is back, and the housing crisis has rightly been documented. But why is nobody talking about the restaurant crisis?
Or the health service? It's a mess.
Yeah, that too. Anyway, it's just impossible to get a seat anywhere decent nowadays. It's like every darkened restaurant with bare light bulbs hanging from the ceiling is booked up weeks in advance.
It's just sad because we were the ones happily paying €20 for overdone burgers back in the recession when nobody else gave a damn about local businesses because they were being made like redundant or homeless or whatever.
And now they're just spending their money on themselves. When they could be funding wells or vaccines in, like, Africa or Donegal.
That's actually why Oisin and I are having an ironic cultural slumming night in next Friday.
Oh?
We're going to get a Chinese, watch Graham Norton, then have 20 minutes of disappointing sex when we go to bed before midnight. It's basically like our way of protesting what people expect from our generation by not going out.
This has nothing to do with your generation getting old and you actually not wanting to go out anymore, does it?
Mm-hmm. Oh no, not at all. We've been doing it the last few weeks. We even flick between Graham and The Late Late and compare how bad Ryan Tuberty's guests are. It's really funny because that's what basic people do, but when we do it, we're being ironic, and it's for a good cause too.
The cause of millennials not wanting to go out anymore.
Yes, I've always been really creative with my activism.
Like that time you flew to the Amazon to do ayahuasca for 3 weeks, but then paid a local to plant 4 trees on the last day to offset the carbon footprint of your 6 flights. That was so extra.
Exactly. Right, well, it's nearly 9 o'clock. We should start the film.
Let's do it.
Actually, guys, I just realised. The Lego Movie?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Like, Lego's made out of non-biodegradable plastic, which is totes problematic for the environment. I don't think I can watch this.
Ugh.
Sorry.
Minister.
Minister!
Get back, I say! You ruffians must remove yourself from my estate forthwith! My apologies, you are gentlemen, in the loosest sense, of the press. Your disheveled clothing and red eyes made me think you were the Fingal Battalion, protesting outside ministers' houses, armed with bad grammar and Roddy Doyle accents. It's like being kidnapped by the cast of The Commitments.
Minister.
Questions?
Minister.
Yes,
Minister.
The man there wearing the polyester blend suit.
Why is the cost of a 3 kilometre cycle lane from Fairview to Amiens Street risen from 7 to 20 million in a year?
Yeah. 20 million? Why, that's positively a steal. Have you seen the price of the children's hospital? If that sick-looking boy, Simon Harris, was Transport Minister, it would probably have risen to 100 million already. I feel bad for that chap. I keep finding him crying in cupboards.
But the budget for the cycle lane has tripled.
You people should be ashamed of yourselves. You criticise me when I give grants to disadvantaged areas like Malahide Golf Club, or when the multi-billion euro Metrolink changes because it irked the senior council dwellers of Dublin 6. Now you slam me when I lay the first tarmacadam north of Sackville Street. You're a disgrace to the once noble profession of journalism. Ugh. Read more of my views in my defunct Sunday Independent column.
Well, your thoughts about the taxi association coming out against plans for Uber-style rural transport service, saying it'd be detrimental and dangerous.
Yeah. Well, detrimental and dangerous is practically the slogan of the Irish taxi industry ever since the catastrophic deregulation 20 years ago. As anyone who has ever paid €70 for a man to drive you to Blackrock in a 16-year-old Skoda that smells of deep-fried food and bigotry can attest to.
Can you not see the concerns of the dissatisfied taxi drivers, Minister?
All taxi drivers are dissatisfied. That's how they were born. And just because terrible regulation ruined their industry, they have awful working conditions and they can barely make a living, doesn't mean they can't smile for the passengers. That's why I prefer to travel by hansom cab. The drivers are far cheerier, and if they give you any lip, you can turn the whip on them. Something I dare say would put some manners in you lot.
Minister.
I must away now, because seeing as you're not the Fingal Battalion, I must remove the booby traps from the east wing.
What?
Oh no! I'm too late! Retreat!